Now, funding sources, the relevance, you have to find a synergy between, is it, you know, a corporate with a synergy with a incubator, synergy with a with an SSN, whether you're using grants, whether you're going to accessing crowdfunding. But of course, within the country also, there are a lot of initiatives within India also to promote and nurture social enterprises like your Niti Aayog, like your AIM. So you have a lot of initiatives which are there, which are helping. There are the taxation policy, which is there, policy incentives in terms of tax benefits, in terms of various other SOPs can be tapped into to ensure that your financial planning is balanced. Of course, we, if you look at, pick up the annual report of any good large company, in the annual report, initially you will have your, you know, chairman's statement, and you will have your, you know, those various things. And typically you will find a very clear description and your clear details of what are the kind of key CSR initiatives which have been taken up by corporates. For example, you have a Procter & Gamble, which is, you know, an international MNC. P&G has a very large in a social enterprise by the name of P&G Shiksha, a CSR initiative by the name of P&G Shiksha. And, you know, some of those, if you go on YouTube, some of those P&G Shiksha commercials have like views in crores and crores. And these are not just, you know, superficial commercials. They are actually talking about real initiatives taken by them in terms of education in remote areas, or education where there are learning gaps with children, or education for underprivileged. So, so many firms in which this CSR is playing out across various needs. For example, Unilever has a specific tie-up with the for the to eradicate food insecurity, to remove global hunger. So different organizations have different kind of CSR initiatives. Now also we have to see that when we are talking about grants, when we're talking about various forms, banks also, though typically you have your bank, you know, loans, etc. But even from an institutional point of view, RBI has set priority sector lending targets for banks, and as a percentage of their loan books. And banks have to adhere to this. If they do not meet their targets in terms of lending to that priority sector segment, whether it's promoting agriculture, whether it's promoting fisheries, then they will have to account to RBI for it. So even from an institutional banking point of view, even though we're not necessarily talking typical lending, priority sector lending is also an avenue for promoting social enterprise. Now, for example, you have your Villagro Innovations Foundations, and focuses again on health, agriculture, etc. So there are so many avenues where funding can be sourced. You have Social Alpha, which funds, handholds, promotes a lot of innovative, socially relevant ideas. I've spoken about the Atal Innovation Mission, the various other indices. The indices really help to monitor the kind of good, and this monitoring and demonstration to the various stakeholders helps in bringing in this funding, because if we can see that the social impact is really being achieved in a measurable manner, then that can lend immense credibility to the enterprise and their mission. So you have your Startup India initiative, which is there, which funds and promotes and harnesses social enterprises. You have AIM, you have various other initiatives. Now, also, for example, when we are talking about Rang De is a platform which connects your micro lenders with rural women. So it is bringing these two parties together, where these rural women who can have the potential of becoming self-sufficient entrepreneurs, becoming decision makers, becoming autonomous, being connected with these micro lenders so that it can be mutually beneficial to both the parties. Now, also when it comes to agriculture, another initiative, and again, these innovative initiatives are what catch the attention of your funders and which draw people in from the socially conscious point of view. So Under the Mango Tree is a social enterprise which works with beekeepers, tribal beekeepers, to bring livelihood to them, to help the environment, to promote the agricultural practices there. So again, there is something which is unique, because working with tribals again comes with a lot of challenges. There are a lot of group philosophies there, where they may not allow mainstream people to become part of their community, where there are a lot of there's a lot of distrust, because obviously they are exploited communities across. We keep hearing and reading about atrocities committed on them. So to get them to trust you, buy in, work with you is obviously something where maybe an entity which has no way of accessing that region directly to help the community there to have a lasting social impact in that community can work through entities like UTMT through their this innovative idea, which is helping the tribal community, creating livelihood, creating self-sufficiency, self-sufficiency. Whenever I talk about livelihood, keep in mind, along with livelihood is coming dignity of existence, not being dependent on someone. Self-reliance brings in huge amount of security and dignity, which is very, very vital, especially for your backward communities, and especially so that at least the next generations can move forward and maybe break out of the below poverty line, marginalized sectors. Now coming to Unlimited, I've been talking about Unlimited a lot. They provide free incubation program to multitudes of social entrepreneurs. If you just go on their website, you will see testimonials and data and verified legitimate information. And if one of the first things that you see on their site is roughly a 4-minute video, that 4-minute video, some few of the social entrepreneurs who have benefited from Unlimited talk about their enterprises, where they stand, what they benefited from. So the social enterprises that have benefited here have managed to raise more than 32 billion rupees for various enterprises. And through the good that these social enterprises are doing, they have managed to positively impact more than 26 million lives across the country, which is not a small number at all. So to give you an idea, first of all, they're providing free incubation thing, the mentor, they get the various, they get give platforms where the entrepreneurs can meet each other. So which is a huge morale boost, because they're not feeling isolated. They're learning from each other's experiences. Giving you an idea of some of the social entrepreneurs who have benefited from from Unlimited are Oscar Foundation. Now, this gentleman, he used the concept of football. We all think, Ronaldo and Pele and whoever, And we, you know, watch the FIFA World Cup every so many years. But here he used football at a very grassroots level to bring in, use it as a community to bring together children from across the underprivileged communities and instill in them the importance of education. And using football as a way in a fun, competitive way to instill this importance of education, to stay consistent in terms of attendance. And it has been rolled out across multiple states in India and also in parts of Sri Lanka. And the measurable aspect, because whenever we're talking funding, whenever we're talking financial planning, again, I'm stressing the measurable aspect of the initiative, because that becomes very important when you're trying to source funding. They have measured the impact and they have observed through their initiative among the participant children. School dropout rates have dropped by 12%, which is a very, very significant number. So again, let's say they were seeking SSN funding, then it could be an outcome linked to this impact. But when you see this story, when you see the person talking about it, when you see it on the legitimate unlimited platform, then you know that this is credible. It demonstrates to others who may be considering starting a social enterprise that, oh, you know, let me not give up. It may be daunting, but if I have a solid idea, if I'm selected by Unlimited, then I can actually create sustainable change, which could be scalable. So, of course, you have to do your homework in terms of taking your being very solid with your idea, doing your homework, your research, what you have in mind, and then, you know, hope to be, you know, selected. Another example is of BioPrime. This lady, she observed, you know, again, she's given a testimonial, and she observed that she observed that farmers, the next generation of farmers, did not want to take up farming because of the challenges involved with agriculture and funding and various aspects. So she started BioPrime, and they have assisted a lot of farmers. They have trained 1,000 plus farmers in ways in which they have seen a significant 30 to 40% reduction in their loss of crop, 30 to 40% increase in their productivity across states. So that has revived the interest in farming among this community of farmers and also their families and next generations. And of course, we need agriculture. It's the foundation. Without that, we cannot sustain ourselves as a country, as humanity. So again, it is an enterprise which has benefited hugely from the support received from Unlimited. So if you hear just two of the examples that I gave to you, and this is just from that 4-minute video, if you go on their site, the number of testimonials that you will see, the number of the number of enterprises that they have supported, it's phenomenal across sectors, across states. Now, also keep in mind that when I said that an Oscar Foundation, you know, using football to instill importance of education in children, when they are moving, when they have success in one state, and then they decide that, okay, now let's launch in another state, then again, that would involve so much work, so much understanding, so much research of now a new community, because we are a diverse country with so many states, with so many languages, with different cultures, different administrations, different governments, sometimes different laws as well. And having an unlimited hand hold you and guide you through that, whether it's from a networking point of view, access point of view, incubation point of view, can really help to make that leap and cross those boundaries versus, you know, having to like stick to a marginalized segment and not being able to scale. So these are some of the very vital backbone avenues that this country has. funding sources, as I'm continuing to tell you, are diverse. So just a synopsis in terms of the various funding sources which are there. Incubators, Unlimited, I have told you how they are providing this free incubation program, grants, etc. Very interestingly, when we talk about charities, then India is an extremely charitable country. There's a very, very, very recent study done on roughly about the top 200 philanthropic people in the country. And in the last 1 year itself, 9,000 crores has been donated by these top 200 odd people. And out of this 9,000 crores, the largest donor was Sri Shiv Nadar, who donated more than 2,000 crores, mainly to areas related to education. So gives you an idea of that we are a country and a culture with a charitable thought process and a desire to make, have social impact and contribute to enterprises and initiatives which have a noble cause. Also, what is interesting in this list of philanthropists is the some new entrants in these large philanthropists. So, of course, we're talking about, the Shiv Nadars and the people who have been donating for a very long time. But, even new age, new age entrepreneurs like Nikhil Kamath of Zerodha seems to be part of this list with, donations in excess of, annual donations in excess of 100 crores. So you see, as enterprise is coming in, as people, capitalism is enriching people, the good thing is that they are also giving back to the community and to the society. Once again, opening up more and more platforms for people to tap into for their social enterprises. When it comes to training, when it comes to beyond funding, when it comes to training, etc., you have organizations like TIS, you have the IIMs, you have so many ISB, etc., who are contributing to the skill set and the training of these for these enterprises, socially impactful enterprises. Also, one very, very important element specific to India, over and above the international participants who are there, like a Dell Foundation or an Unlimited that I have also mentioned about, one very, very significant initiative in the Indian context is the Pradhan Mantri Mudra Yojana, which was started roughly 10 years ago, and it provides micro loans to people who want to move from being, dependent to becoming self-reliant. They want to move from being job seekers to becoming job creators and entrepreneurs. And beneficiaries include people like, one lady, Kamlesh, who ran her tailoring shop. She started with, three women. Now she has three women working for her. She has three women working for her. She has managed to send her children to school. So among the beneficiaries is this lady, Kamlesh, who is a tailor. And now she has, over and above just running her own thing and being informally employed, she has three other women working for her. She's earning well. She has been able to send her children to a good school. You have another lady who started with 50 brooms. Now she has 300. So these Mudra Yojana loans, they have managed to disburse more than 52 crore loans. By 52 crore loans, I'm not saying rupees, 52 crores. 52 crore individual loans have been disbursed through this. And the beneficiaries are anyone from tea stall owner, mechanic shop, hair salon. So the absolute small entrepreneur, a lease of life for them. Of course, we have various elements like the co-working space Jaga, which allows for shared space Now, when it comes to social entrepreneurship, as I was talking in a previous chapter, a very useful way of benefiting and being financially viable would be by way of shared resources. Like we were talking about Hello Tractor, sharing tractors among farmers, or sharing networking space, co-working spaces. Shared resources can really bring in this collective, collaborative growth. Among the other foundations which have played the role of catalyst are the Deshpande Foundation. Then you have the UNDP, the Scholl Foundation. You have the Tata Social Entrepreneurs Challenge. Some of the winners of the past years who have received funding support, cash prizes, include initiatives like Bastar Se Bastar Tak Now, Bastar in the tribal region. This entrepreneur, enterprise works with the tribals to bring them livelihood and help them to sell their goods at fair prices. Then you have Inamunation, which based in Bangalore, which has created medical devices to help people who have had throat cancer, to help them to restore some sort of voice restoration. So again, an extremely noble cause. Action for India is guided by Sam Pitroda, who was at one point of time advisor to former Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi. Like him, so many other known people who have a platform, who have exposure and access, who are known figures, who can leverage their connections, leverage their network to bring help and nurture social enterprises are existing around India. It's not just international entities like Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. There are a lot of homegrown people like Sam Pitroda who know the country well, who have exposure, who have used their network to help in areas across agriculture, education, energy, etc. Now, while I'm talking about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they first came to India with their HIV prevention project, which of course is very, very noble. And their initiatives led to reduction of, prevented rather over 6 lakh new infections, which is a massive impact in the direction of not just the health of those who were saved from these infections, but also the health of their families knowing the nature of this disease. There is the Rural Technology and Business Incubator initiated by IIT Madras. Of course, we are looking at how technology is reaching the absolute bottom of the pyramid as well. And the agricultural segment. So there are so many initiatives which are there in addition to the HIV prevention. Eventually, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation also collaborated with various Indian government organizations and participated in the polio prevention drive because polio was, was a massive issue with India, and right from childhood, we had heard seen those campaigns, including Mr. Amitabh Bachchan talking about, do bund of this polio drop can, save your life and save your child's life from a disability. So through this collaborative collective initiative between an international party and domestic parties, India was very well declared polio-free in 2014, which is a massive, massive achievement. So you have the Dell Foundation, the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation, again working with the poor. A lot of avenues, as we are seeing, right from incubator funds to various institutions, right from the IIMs, the IITs, etc., who have supported and handheld your various enterprises across the country to achieve their goals. Another very important contributor to this segment is Dasra, which has equipped over 800 social organizations, mobilized more than $60 million. So it's giving you an idea that why India is home to more than 2 million social enterprises. Because you see the Indian ecosystem is inviting not just international parties, but within the country, so many people are contributing, people who are either enablers in terms of donations they can make or enablers in terms of the network and access and handholding that they can provide, or collaborations that they can, for example, a Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation collaboration with the Indian government for polio prevention. So by way of collaborations, by way of bringing in institutional research support, etc., they are really managing to help the social enterprises with their funding requirement. Also, as we're going to be discussing in the next chapter, a very important part of the success of a social enterprise is the HR policies and the talent management. If you're trying to bring change for people, if you're trying to have a positive impact for the people, then it is people who have to contribute to it. You have to first have a positive impact on your own talent, your own talent management people at all levels. So unless you have a very, very robust talent management policy, how will you achieve that? There has to be, you have to have immensely driven people who are not necessarily working for salaries and glory and position, but really working for a purpose where improving the life of someone is what drives them in life more than monetary considerations. So talent management, as we're going to be discussing in the next chapter, is extremely important from a for the success of a social enterprise. And a lot of these entities that we have spoken of, whether it's TIS or whether it's the Dasra, Dasra, or whether it is various other funds, they are providing not just funding support, but they are also providing training, skill enhancement, skill upgradation, so that the people element are appropriately equipped to effect social change. Acumen Fund, as I have mentioned, is one of the funds which has been very, very active in India. One of their larger investments has been in Arvind Eye Hospital. I will be talking about Arvind Eye Hospital in further detail in a later chapter, but gives you an idea in terms of the diversity of investments that these funds are making. Of course, you also have the Avishkar India Micro Venture Capital Fund, and it has invested in extensively in the rural agro-technology sectors. And we are seeing through enterprises like Bioprime, through enterprises like Pani, through various enterprises, how agriculture can be very positively impacted through technology, can be very positively impacted through innovations, and it is the absolute backbone. And when we are a country where we see disheartening elements of farmer suicides, and which is so tragic, then addressing something at that absolute basic level of rural and agricultural communities is an extremely noble cause. And also, if you see those of us in the urban parts of the country, we don't get direct access to agricultural communities or rural communities. Of course, we are surviving based on the produce of these agricultural and rural communities. But do we get to interact with them one-on-one? So through supporting various initiatives in our individual capacities, or patronizing companies where we know those companies are onward positively having a social impact in these rural communities, in these agricultural communities, through those impacts, we can contribute in our own way towards positive and sustainable social change. I have mentioned about the PMMY in terms of how successful it has been and how people across, women, men, across tiny businesses, salons, tea stalls, mechanics, tailors, sanitation workers have been able to benefit from the Pradhan Mantri Mudra Yojana, the motto being fund the unfunded. And mind you, a lot of the recovery in the segment where you would think that, oh, recovery may be very low, these are people who are extremely self-respecting, extremely dignified. And very often we will see, as we will see in the case of Grameen Bank, when we discuss that in another chapter, how recovery is exceedingly high from this segment of the beneficiaries. Different loans under Pradhan Mantri Mudra Yojana, Shishu, Kishore, Tarun, based on the amounts involved. And as I was telling you, more than 52 crore loans sanctioned. That gives you an idea of the number of people who are tapping into this scheme. Thank you.